Proverbs chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verses 3 down to verse 9. Last week we began this little study of this chapter that I've entitled Insights for Life. Or no, it wasn't last week, it was 2 weeks ago, sorry, that we did that. And tonight we're going to be picking up in verse number 3 and continuing on. But first of all, I want you to look at my chart here tonight. And I want to talk a little bit about the kings of this chart. All right, now, most of you have seen this chart before. But the kings, this is all the kings of Israel, the kings of northern kingdom here, the kings of the southern kingdom here, these are the kings of the united kingdom. So the united kingdom, there was Saul, David, and Solomon, and then the kingdom divided. Rehoboam took the line of Solomon, and Jeroboam began the northern kingdom. All right, now, as we look at this, first of all, God chose Saul to be the king. And Saul rebelled against God, didn't do what God told him to do. And so God said, all right, I'm going to change. I'm going to give it to David. And so he gave it to David. During Saul's reign, a lot of that time was chasing David to try to get rid of David because he knew David was going to be the next king. David comes on the throne. And David reigned for 40 years. Wasn't a perfect king by any means, but he was a good king. He was a friend of God and walked with God. And then his son Solomon takes over. And Solomon prays and asks God for wisdom. And God gave him more wisdom than any man who's ever lived other than Jesus Christ. And yet Solomon didn't use his wisdom very well. And he passed on some of that information to his children, including Rehoboam. And Rehoboam didn't use the wisdom very well either. And as a result, Rehoboam was the one who was blamed for dividing the kingdom. And it really wasn't Rehoboam's fault. The fault was in Solomon. Solomon was the one to blame because Solomon was the one who introduced all kinds of idolatry into Israel. He brought in all these women from all over other nations to make peace with other nations, and he married all these women and built them temples and altars and all these kind of things, and he introduced all that paganism to Israel, and as a result, the nation turned away from God. And then when Rehoboam comes on the scene, Rehoboam is stubborn and rebellious and proud and haughty and wouldn't succumb to the request of the other people. And so the kingdom was divided. And then trouble comes from the rest of the way through. And we're not studying the kings tonight, but just a little bit of a thought in your mind. All the northern kingdom kings were bad. There wasn't any good ones among them. None of them. Jeroboam had a chance of being right. At the start, he seemed to be right. But then he turned and he created two major problems in Israel. He created two golden calves. And he put one in Israel here. He put one right at this border down here of in Bethel. And he put the other one up here in the northern border in Dan. And put those two golden calves there. And throughout the whole rest of the Old Testament, God repeatedly says that Jeroboam caused Israel to sin. And it was because of those golden calves. So they were all bad. And the southern kingdom was, a lot of them were bad. Some of them, I know you can't read the dates beside them. I did that on purpose, not to keep them from you, but I don't want to distract from what you can see. I want you to see the names more than the dates. But if you come close, you can see the dates. This is the number of years that they reigned. Athaliah was a wicked queen. She was the only queen in either side of the nation, as far as one that reigned. And she was the daughter of none other than Ahab and Jezebel. And that's why she was so wicked. And so that's why, and she led into more and more wickedness. And it gets down here to the end. And Hezekiah was a good king, but his son Manasseh was the worst of the lot. And God said, because of Manasseh's sins, because of all the idolatry and the witchcraft and the wickedness of Manasseh, he said, even though Manasseh turned back and repented and got right with God before he died, God said, I cannot forgive them, and I cannot overlook that, and I'm going to have to judge them. And it eventually turned the southern kingdom into judgment as well. So there's a lot there, and we studied through that many months ago. But I wanted to lay that little foundation out there to see. Tonight, I've entitled the message, Pop's Pointers. And the reason I did that is because as we look at this here, starting in verse number 1 of chapter 4, he says, Hear ye, children, the instruction of the father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake not ye not my law. Now we looked at that 2 weeks ago. Verse number 3, for I was my father's son. All right, now who's speaking? It's Solomon speaking. He says, I was my father's son. So I was David's son, tender and beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me, David taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. So now Solomon is repeating these things to Rehoboam and his other sons, and he's saying, this is what my father told me. So this is Pop's pointers for you. This is what Grandpa David said, and this is what you need to apply to your life. And so he's given him this information, and in verse number 5, he says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee, love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give thine head an ornament of grace, and a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. So tonight as we look at this, I'm grateful that not only did Solomon give these words and pen them down for us, for his son, but also for us. So these are words that came from David. Most of what we're going to be looking at here tonight is words that David spoke to Solomon when Solomon was a young man. And he said, these are things that are very, very important in life. And these are things that can be of great help to you and help you throughout life. And thus, they will be a great help to us as well. And so, as we look at this tonight, think about those things and ask God to help you to understand and grasp the significance of what he's saying here. First of all, I want us to notice his first point, and that is that you need to take my advice. Verse number 4, he says there, he taught me and said unto me, here it is, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. All right? So he tells him there, you need to let your heart retain my words. His words were his advice that he was about to share with him. These things that he was about to tell his son Solomon. He says, I want you to listen. I want you your heart to retain my words. All right, very important. The words there, his thoughts that he was going to share with them. And, you know, many times young people seldom realize the value of the words of older people. Many young people, they think, I know better than my parents. They're kind of dumb right now. And, you know, they're just not with it. They don't know what's going on. And we were all there, probably thought similar thoughts at times, where we just didn't feel like the adult world really understood us and they really had a grip on what was reality. And David is saying here to Solomon, he said, listen, you need to let your heart retain my words. The word retain there means to grip, to hold on tightly. Now, most of you that know me very well know I'm not a fisherman. I've gone fishing several times, many times actually, but I usually don't catch anything. Everybody that goes with me catches, and I sit there and think, why are you wanting to do this? And they never bite my line. And I just hardly ever catch any fish. But the few times I have caught fish, and you pull that fish in, and you go to grab that slimy thing, and he's wiggling and flopping all over, and you got to hang on tight, you got to grip on tight if you're going to hold him. And that's the idea that David uses here. He says, I want you to retain my words. Grip on them tight. Don't let them wiggle out of your hands. Don't let them slither away from you. Hang on my words carefully. And he said, I want you to let your heart hang on to my words. Let your heart retain them, grab onto them. So, you know, when we listen to information, there's different ways in which we listen to information. All right? If we were sitting in a boring classroom listening to a instructor give us boring information, you're kind of sitting there like, oh boy, hope it gets done soon. And I'm listening, but I'm not really getting much out of this. This is a drag. All right? And so we don't really retain much of that. Whereas if someone says, listen, I've got something very special to tell you. I've got a special surprise for you later on this evening, so I want you to listen carefully. We would listen with both ears wide open. I want to hear what this is. There's something special coming. And so we have different ways in which we listen to things. And David is saying here, I want you to let your heart retain my words. do it from your heart. I want you to listen deeply so that your heart says, I want what Dad says. Dad's got something wise for me. I want to grab that because it's going to be a help to me. And we need to listen in that regard. And here David is saying, listen with all your heart and with great interest, because I have something to tell you that is very, very special. So he says here, let your heart retain my words. And he says, keep my commandments and live. Keep my commandments. You know, his commandments were his rules, his laws. Rules and laws aren't real popular with anybody. None of us really like rules and laws. They're kind of one of those things that we just, why do we have to have rules and laws? But you know, the truth of the matter is, when we think about it, deep down inside, we know they're important. You know, if we didn't have any rules and laws in our land, anybody could kick down your door and steal whatever they wanted to out of your house, and you couldn't say a thing about it. And they could hurt you, and they could harm you, and they could do cruel things to you, and they could bully you, and they could, you know, the cars could zoom down your street 100 kilometers an hour, and you say, boy, that's not very safe. Well, so what? What do you care? You know, I can do what I want. There's no laws. And so there's a lot of reasons we know deep down inside that we need laws, but we don't really particularly like laws. They restrict us. And David told Solomon he needed to keep those commandments, those laws, and to keep them has the idea of guarding them, protecting them, and obeying them. Hang on to those laws, because those are something that's going to help you in life. They're going to protect you in life. They're going to be a blessing to you in life. And so I'm sure that David, when he was sitting down there with Solomon, he'd say, Solomon, do not lie. You know, and be kind to your brothers. And, you know, you need to read your Bible, or you need to do what's right. And, you know, some of the rules that they had in their home. And Solomon may have thought, oh, I don't want to do these things. But David's saying, no, you need to listen to this. This is important. These things are very important. It'll help you throughout life. And he says, keep the commandments and live. The idea here is that it will help you in life. It'll help you, first of all, to avoid premature death. It will help you to be able to live a happier and longer life if you'll obey. And it'll also lead you to an eternal life if you'll learn to obey God. And so all of these things will help us in the right direction. So he starts out here with his advice, and he says, take my advice. Right? He says, let thy heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. And then he moves on, gives us a second pointer, and that is, get wisdom and understanding. Get wisdom and understanding. You know, these are commands here. He says, get wisdom, get understanding. Now, as we think about this, the word get means to acquire, to take, to gain, to keep it to ourselves. And so he says, we need to gain it. And we're not going to acquire wisdom in our sleep. I wish we could. That'd be a good way to go, you know. I wake up in the morning, I'm really wise because I just slept on my wisdom book. Yeah, but it doesn't work that way. And we're not going to trip over it on a walk some morning. You know, we're walking along and all of a sudden we're tripping. Oh, wow, what was that? Oh, wow. Whew, I feel so much different now. I'm wise. I just got wisdom. It's not going to work that way, and we all know that. It's going to take work to gain the wisdom we need, and it comes from God. And we're going to have to spend time with God in order to get the wisdom from God. Now, David here is telling Solomon, Solomon, you need to get wisdom. You know, maybe that's one of the reasons, maybe that's the key reason why when Solomon had that dream and God asked him, what do you want me to give you, Solomon, he didn't say, I want money, I want riches, I want fame, I want popularity, I want power. He said, God, I need wisdom. And maybe it's because of these words that he remembered going through his mind of David telling him, son, the greatest thing in life is you need wisdom. You need wisdom from God. And you need God's instruction. When we think of this word wisdom, there's many different words translated wisdom in the Bible, but this is one that's the most common one. And it is a word that refers to skill. And a skill may be in a craft. The skill may be in administration. It has to do with shrewdness. It has to do with prudence. And so he says, you need this kind of a wisdom. You need this skill. You need this prudence. You need this shrewdness to be able to make right choices. Many times I have defined the word wisdom as the God-given ability to make right choices. And you know, wisdom is it comes from God. It's the God-given ability that God gives us, the ability to do something we wouldn't be able to do in our own strength. We wouldn't be able to do in our own power. We need God's guidance and insight to be able to do this. Now, whether that ability be shrewdness or prudence, it's always something that's beyond our ability. You know, you think back of examples of this in the Bible. This word is used when God gave the special skill to the workers of the tabernacle. God gave them wisdom. And he gave them wisdom to do things that people normally couldn't figure out how to do. They embroidered all these beautiful embroidery works and wove gold into that and the beautiful things that they had for the tabernacle. He gave them the insight and wisdom how to make all the different vessels for the tabernacle and all the instruments that were involved there. And he gave that special wisdom to them so that they could be able to do that. We see also that it's the same word that God gave to Solomon that night when he had that dream. And he said, I'd like wisdom. And God says, all right, this is what I'll give you. This is the same kind of a wisdom. It's the wisdom that is mentioned by the psalmist in Psalm 90, verse 12, where he says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our heart unto wisdom. We need that wisdom that comes from God, that ability to make right choices. It's said to be, it begins with the fear of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If we're going to get wisdom from God, we need to fear God so that we have an awe and a respect for God so that we will lean upon him for the wisdom that we need. Now folks, one thing each of us here tonight need, we need God's wisdom. I need God's wisdom, and so do you. For every choice we make in life, we need God's wisdom, or we're going to make wrong choices. You know, the opposite of wisdom is foolishness. I can do it myself. I can figure out life's problems myself. I can make my own life's decisions. I don't need God. I can do what pleases me. And it's going along with our peers and doing what everybody else is doing. That's foolishness. God said, that's not going to get you anywhere in life. He says, I want you to have wisdom. I want you to know my way of doing it. You know, when we really stop and think about it, wisdom is getting the inside information from the one who created us. God's the creator. He knew exactly what he was doing when he created us. He knows exactly how to make it work. He knows exactly all the details of how to make things work in life. And God says, I want you to get the information from me, and I will give you that wisdom. I'll give you the instruction you need to be able to make choices that I would make if I was doing it in your place. And so we need God's wisdom. But he goes on and he says, also, get understanding. It's interesting that many times in Scripture, wisdom and understanding are used together. Wisdom and understanding. The word understanding here is a word that means to separate, to distinguish, to discriminate, to discern. One lexicon illustrates it by saying that in the Old Testament, when the people, most of them lived in tents, and you and I might go into a tent like that and think, oh yeah, this is a nice tent. We don't, you know, it's all just a big tent, but it had some dividers in it. And the dividers there were to distinguish the men's side from the women's side. And it's the word understanding. To have understanding. When they went into the tent, they had understanding. That side's for the girls, that side's for the boys. And there was an understanding there that divided the two. And so the idea of this word understanding is to be able to make discernment in choices. When we're facing situations, do I do this or do I do that? And discernment will help us, and so it works hand in hand with wisdom to be able to make those choices between right and wrong, between good and bad, between truth and error. We need understanding that goes hand in hand with that wisdom. So the two of them work together. We get the discernment from God to make right choices and the understanding to be able to choose between good and bad, right and wrong. And so both of them are needed. And he says that we must not neglect wisdom. As he goes on through the rest of the chapter, or the rest of this section here, he just talks about wisdom, but I think it's because the two of the wisdom and understanding are like cemented together. They're working hand in hand together. So he only mentions the one of them. He doesn't mention both. Probably both of them had with the idea of them working together. But he goes on in verse number 5. He says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Forget it not. He gives us several declarations here that we are not to neglect. He says, don't forget it, don't decline from it, and don't forsake it. Alright, so first of all, he says, forget it not. You know, the idea here is to ignore it, to neglect it, to treat it like it doesn't have much value. He says, don't do that. We need wisdom. And folks, we all need wisdom. I need wisdom, and it's very, very important. And we underestimate the value of getting God's mind on all the decisions that we make in life. We need that desperately. And he says it's absolutely important. We need that wisdom and understanding to make the right choices. And he says, do not forget it. Don't let it leave your mind. He says, decline not from it. To decline means to bend away, to push away from something, and to treat it like it's not all that important. But declining from it is intentional. So the neglect or the forgetting of it is something that, well, I forgot. Well, a lot of times we forget. It's not like we're purposely doing that. And the older we get, the more we forget. And we're not doing it on purpose. It's just part of our flesh. We get old and we get forgetful. And so he says, don't forget it. But he says, don't decline from it. And declining from it is choosing to say, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to push away from that. It's an intentional thing. We read in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools say, I don't want that. That's not what I want. They push away from it. And then he says, forsake or not, verse number 6. Forsake or not. Why? Now when we think of forsake, forsaking is the next step. So there's the three steps here in this decline. First was forgetting it. Second was declining from it. But third is forsaking it. He says, don't forsake it. Forsaking is the worst of the bunch. It's abandoning it. It's just walking away from it, saying, I just don't need this. I don't want it. Leave me alone. And I'm out of here. I don't want that. And they choose foolishness instead. And however, God says, if you do not forsake her, what will he do? He says, if you do not forsake her, she will preserve you. She'll preserve you. Now, when we think about preserving, you know, some of you are gardeners. Some of you preserve a few things. Now, the easiest way to preserve them is stick them in the fridge, but that keeps them for a while. Or you can put them in the freezer, and that will preserve things longer, depending on what it is. But there's lots of ways of preserving. You could take an apple, for example, and cut it up in little pieces and put it out on a platter and put it out in the sun and leave it sit there all day long on a good hot day. And by the end of the day, it's all dried up and shriveled up and it's preserved. And that apple will not spoil for a long, long time, assuming it's thoroughly dried. And that's preserved it. And God's using this word here, preserve. He says, if you don't forsake her, she will preserve you. She will make you, wisdom will make you to last a lot longer and give you a lot a longer life and a more stable situation between you and God. And then he goes on in verse 6, and he says, love her and she will keep you. All right? So he says, if you love wisdom, if you make it something that I really, really am passionate about, I love wisdom, like I love my dearest friends, then he says that she will keep you. Keep you from sin, keep you from danger, keep you from harm, and keep you from heartaches in life, and that will keep you if we will love it. And then he gives us then another pointer as he kind of moves into another little segment here in verse number 7. And he says here, before all else, you need to get wisdom. All right, he just told us, get wisdom, get understanding. Now he says, before everything else, I want you to make sure you get wisdom and get understanding. And he says, yeah, Pop, I got that. You know, you said that once. But he says, I'm going to say it again because you just really need to get this. You need to get wisdom. You need to get understanding. And he makes a very point of it in verse 7. He says, get wisdom, get understanding, for wisdom is a principal thing. It's the principal thing. It's the most important thing. It's the best thing you can get. And it is better than anything else. And it will help you in life more than anything else you can find. You know, many times people chase all kinds of things in life. If I just had more money, I could just make better choices and I'd get a better situation and life would be much better. Or if I had better friends, if I had better this or that, and we always want something better. And God says, no, the thing you need more than anything else, you need wisdom. And you may be poor, but if you have wisdom and you make right choices, God says you'll be happy that way. And it'll be best for you. We need God's wisdom. And so this applies to all our daily activities, the things that we buy, the things that we do, the places we go, the things that we watch. We need wisdom in all of that. And God says, if you have wisdom, it'll keep you out of a heap of trouble and it'll help you in so many ways. You really, really need to prioritize wisdom. We need God's direction. And Proverbs, several times throughout Proverbs, Solomon tells us there the value of wisdom. Got a couple of examples. Proverbs 8 and verse 11. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Better than rubies. You know, rubies are great value, but he says better than that is wisdom. Proverbs 16:16, he says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold and get understanding rather than be chosen than silver? He said, gold's far better than wisdom. And you know, we're tempted at times. You know, all of us could use a little bit more money. That would be nice, help us out in life. And if somebody offered us a choice between, you know, $500,000 and God's wisdom, we'd have a struggle sometimes and go, oh, I could sure use that money. But God says, choose wisdom. It's better. It'll help you in the long run. It'll help you in many ways. It'll be far better for you. And he says that if you get wisdom and you lift it up, it will lift you up. Look at verse number 8. Exalt her and she will promote thee. All right? Exalt her means lift her up. And it's if we put wisdom in a place of importance in our life, God said that she will also do the same for us. And we need to ask ourselves, is being wise more important to us than pleasing our friends? More important to us and more valuable to us than the foolish activities of this life? Many people spend their time doing things that are a waste of time. God says we need wisdom and we need to lift her up and exalt her. And he says, if you exalt wisdom, she'll lift you up. And then he goes on and he says that if you embrace her, all right, in verse number 8 again, exalt her and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. All right, so he says, if you embrace her, the word embrace means to hug her. All right, so you're giving wisdom a hug. All right, if you hug wisdom and hold her tight, God said she will exalt you. She will lift you up. She will promote you. And it'll be a strength to us. You know, living wisely is a promotion in our lives. We like promotions. We all like promotions. Have someone say, hey, you know, you did a good job and I'm going to promote you for this reason, for that. You know, living wisely, God says, will promote us. It'll promote our reputation. It'll promote our respect. It'll promote our righteousness. Those are all things that we need. If we have wisdom, other people will see Christ working in us and through us, and it will promote us. And that's what God says we need. And it'll be a great help to us. And then he goes on, and he said that verse number 9, she shall give thee thy head an ornament of grace. The word ornament there refers to a wreath of grace, a wreath that was given for a prize at an Olympic type of a race. They gave them this wreath of honor to wear, this crown of wreath of leaves, of olive leaves or whatever they made it of. It was a very high honor. And so the idea here is that if you lift up and embrace and hold tightly wisdom, she's going to honor you. She's going to give you grace, that grace or that favor of people. And he says there that she will deliver you a crown of glory, a crown of glory, make your character more beautiful if you will have wisdom. And folks, the truth is we all need wisdom. And just a couple of pages over in Proverbs chapter 8, I want to read a few verses as we finish up here. Proverbs chapter 8, and begin with verse number 32. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 32, he says, "Now, therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they which keep my ways." Now, wisdom is speaking here in Proverbs 8. It's wisdom talking. And wisdom says, "Listen to me, blessed are they that keep my ways, hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." So wisdom is reminding us, you need me. David was reminding Solomon, you need wisdom. And Solomon was reminding Rehoboam and his other sons, this is what Pop said. This is what David told me. This is what you need. You need wisdom. And so he reminded them of this very important truth that we need wisdom. And so the overall truth that he's getting at here is to get wisdom, make it a priority in our life, and it'll greatly bless us if we do. And rejecting God's wisdom will make us a fool and bring us many heartaches. We need wisdom. Now, one thing we all have in common, we all don't have enough wisdom. We need more wisdom. We need God's wisdom. And it's something that every day we need to be seeking the Scriptures. As we open up the Bible, we need to be praying and say, "Lord, give me wisdom to make the right choices today. Help me to make the right choices. You ladies, when you go to the store to buy groceries or whatever, God, help me to make the right choices." You say, "Well, God doesn't care about that." He does. God cares about everything we do. And so we need to ask God for wisdom in all the choices that we make, so that we make wise choices in life, whether it be the big decisions of life or the little decisions of life. God wants us to make wise choices. And so we need to seek God for wisdom, and God will bless us. We'll do that. You know, it's amazing here that these commands, even though they were given to Solomon from David, and Solomon was passing them on to Rehoboam, yet God allowed us to be part of that. And these same truths apply to us. And they can bring blessing to us if we will take them to heart. You know, as God looks at your life tonight, what does He see? Does He see you getting wisdom and making it a priority? And if not, then you need to make some changes. You need to say, "God, I need to strive more to get wisdom." And God tells us we get wisdom through the fear of the Lord. He said we get wisdom through searching the Scriptures. God told the kings that they needed to write out their own copy of the law and study it every day in order to get wisdom and fear the Lord. And so this is how we get to fear the Lord and wisdom. We need to spend time with God. And so I challenge each of you tonight, take that to heart. Really ask God to help you to get more wisdom and be able to make the decisions in life in a wise way.